Hey, welcome to this. Well, it's a lovely autumn day here, and I hope it is for all of you, wherever you are. Autumn is probably, I think, at least in most parts of the country, the most beautiful season of the year, because we have blue skies, just enough to keep everything freshened with a little rain, but mostly low humidity, pleasant temperatures in the day, and not too cold at night. Beautiful colors on the trees, and so, so much beauty to be grateful for. We had a wonderful, wonderful seminar at the end of August, just the beginning of fall. And yesterday we had, among our blessing givers, a get-together on the phone where we covered some of the key ideas that were shared at our seminar. Now, in response tomorrow, yes, it was recorded. And I'm going to be sending out an email right after our blessing call today, giving you the password for it. It will be in the section of our, it will not be on Christ's blessing, because all of that is open to the public. Everything's there. It's public with no passwords necessary. So this will be in our main website, under the section of webinars and seminars. And it'll be, I'll send you a link in the email and your password so you can listen to it. And I do apologize that I was about 5 minutes into it before all of a sudden I realized I started the recording. See, I'm spoiled with having Nancy help me on Sunday. Nancy's so good. She spoils me. But I caught up. Only took me 5 minutes to catch on and remember, so you didn't miss much that was important. So we are here today, and welcome everybody to this 25th day of September. And we're just barely past the, Okay. Now we can control that background noise. Okay. We're still in the balance, the season of balance. We're only 4 days away from the perfect equinox, autumnal equinox. Or if you're from the land down under, the spring equinox. Either way, this is the time of year where our planet is balanced pole to pole. And it gives us an opportunity to recapture our balance pole to pole. And in these days of uncertainty and unrest and distrust and conflict, I think it's really important to take advantage of anything and everything in life that can help you rebalance. So please do that. Please take advantage of this season. Take some time to meditate, to pray. And blessing givers, in your own time, just offer a blessing. It doesn't matter who receives it. Somebody will. I promise you, somebody will. Many somebodies will. And when we're here in our Sunday blessing, we focus our blessing on those who have made a request. But you can't hold the Spirit of God in a bottle. And so conveying it into the world could reach people infinitely around the world. I want to take just a minute to reflect upon what we mean by quantum space and quantifiable space, because we do mention this every now and then. I don't want to take this into any kind of scientific discussion, but it's very, very relevant to our relationship to each other, to ourselves, and to God our Father, and to Yeshua, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, this is what I want to tell. Let's just look at what quantifiable space is. It's anything that can be, and time, it's anything that can be measured. Time can be measured. Seasons can be measured. You look at the material universe, well, weight, dimension, density, length, height, width, how far away is it? How close is it? The up, the put down, and the molecular measurement of different substances. This could be found in the atomic table of chemicals, in which the atomic density is given for you to think about or study or actually use if you're a chemist. This is all, anything that's quantifiable makes up the material universe. But, my friends, that only makes up 1% of the total universe. So what the heck is the rest of it? Well, the rest of it is quantum space. Now, you've probably heard of quantum physics. You might have thought, well, what kind of physics is that? I don't know. I know a lot of people are confused about it, or if not confused, they're just, they swept it aside as a mystery. They probably will never understand. But it's actually very easy. It's that which cannot be measured by length, weight, dimension, density, or anything else measurable. And in quantum space, because of that, there is no limitation of time. Albert Einstein said, well, all we have to get into is quantum space, and we can move backwards as far as we want to go and still be in the same place. Forwards as far as we want to go and still be in the same place. Wow, that's amazing. But I just want to ask you something. How do you think God can be with everybody, all the time, everywhere? Not only in the planet, but in the universe. Quantum space. He didn't retire from creation. He retired from living in quantifiable space. That's what the big rest consisted of. And why is it called a rest? Well, because it takes no energy to propel yourself in and around quantum space. That's where God, the Creator, lives, in quantum space. But, now, how does that relate to you? Well, let me tell you something. And this, I'm reflecting about a question that one of our blessing givers brought up yesterday in our conference. And she said, well, how do we find quantum space? Or how do we find it? How do we use it? How do we manage it? And I said, well, it starts with the beginning that you are quantum space. You, just as I've just as Yeshua said, you are love. You are a child of God. And he said, don't look for the kingdom of heaven out there on the horizon. It can't be measured. It's nowhere in material space. It's in the heart. And you join in the heart to have the kingdom of heaven shared with others. Well, think about that for a minute. Let's just think. You hug your child, a grandchild. Is that any less than the kingdom of heaven? Especially when you're laughing and you're giggling and you're telling a joke and you're sharing hugs and kisses. That is the kingdom of heaven. You're sharing with that little precious one that is all love, who brings out all the love in you. And I'll tell you what, you will remember that forever. And not just in linear time. When you think about the happiest moments of your life, you don't think about them like you're flipping through pages of a scrapbook. That's how you think about the challenging parts of your life. You're flipping through a scrapbook or a journal you wrote. And this one reason it's important to write a journal so you can let go of those doggone things. But when you think about the precious moments, you're right there. You're living them again. You're inside them because you're in. Now, why would, if you were created in the image of God, you are quantum space. Now, most of us don't know it. Most of us don't do very many things to develop it. But artists and musicians do. Poets do. And parents do, if they're loving, loving parents. And you know that connection you build with your loved one, that's a connection inside quantum space. Now, how do you use this more? Well, you know, inside your dreams, can you travel anywhere you want to? Of course. You don't have to go buy an airline ticket to travel in your dreams. In your visions, you have to get on a bus or trying to go somewhere else. No. It's all possible inside the essence of who you are. You are quantum space. And you develop it through bringing it into the world and sharing that connection with others. Now, I've told you that this, I think maybe a couple of times, not an infinite number of times, like I have some stories, but I was terribly sick. Right before Christmas Day, I was going to give a presentation of The Lamb and the Lion at the Unity Church in Colorado Springs. Well, I didn't think I was going to be able to make it. So we got just outside the city, and I said to my husband, let's go up Pike's Peak. I want to go up to the top. I went to the top of the peak. I looked around the world. I went into quantum space, and all the sickness was gone. It was all gone. Totally. I went to the church, provided my presentation. No fever, no cough, no symptoms whatsoever. I got back to the hotel room that night, and I was feeling particularly tired. And I was talking about kind of worldly things, and did we do well at the church and that sort of thing, and reflecting on things. And I went right back into coughing. So what happened? I went into quantum space. Everything that belongs to the world went away. It went away. The same thing happened with the recent Christ Blessing Seminar. I had been having a lingering cough for weeks. And I was really worried about how well I would do in that. In fact, I got there that morning coughing, and I said to Tiffany, oh my gosh, what have I gotten myself into? And everybody else, oh my goodness. I said, Yeshua, you gotta lift me out of this. He did. I think maybe I had a total of 2 coughs during the whole conference, and I was on my feet basically 8 hours a day for 2 days in a row. Then, after it was all over, went back home, and I've got the cough again. I'm still dealing with it. But this is the zone of miracles. This is what I'm telling you. So I want to illustrate that. Now, can we sustain that? Yes, many times we do. Many, many times we do. He lifted me out of the back pain. I stayed there. It never came back. I have been lifted out of cares of the world many times, and it stayed that way. Sometimes you go out and then you come back in. It's my kind of thought and guess that we've got to learn some more if we come back into it. We've got to understand a little deeper if we come back into it. But we get an expression and a demonstration of what it's like to be out of it, and I'm telling you that as an illustration of what quantum space is like. You're in it. Sometimes. You're in it sometimes in a dream. You're in it sometimes when you just laugh. You laugh to the core of your being. Norman Cousins healed himself out of 4th stage cancer by watching video, or I think that was before video time, but Netflix comedies. Complete, not just remission, totally gone. Totally gone. Just by laughing endlessly during the day. He went, that was his trick for getting into quantum space. So what is it? Well, it's the rest of the universe that you can't measure. Now let's just think about God for a moment. And I'm going to give you, what you will say, well, you know, if God can do this for us, why isn't he here? Why isn't he here all the time? Okay. Well, he created a beautiful universe that can work like clockwork. If we manage it, and we were put here as managers to learn how to manage it with the care and the assistance of the angels, who also are supervisory managers of the universe created. Well, then why do you step out? Well, I'm going to give you the best example I can come up with. I had the privilege as a young woman when I worked for the Kimball Museum, a world-class museum. I was the first curator. We were building a a collectible. I mean, one of those types of buildings that will go down in history, designed by the architect Louis Icahn. And while he was building the building, that world famous architect, he would be there supervising everything from the content of the cement to the finish on the stone. He was there, hands on, supervising everything. Well, when the work was done and we celebrated the opening of the building, he was gone, never came back again. His creation went to the history books because he had to clear his soul of that creation in order to create another. I once lived in a Frank Lloyd Wright home, same kind of experience. Well, of course, he had passed long ago, but I could feel his spirit and his soul there in the home. I felt him, but he wasn't physically there. When a creation is done, the creator can leave because it's up to others to handle and manage. Now, if he came back, and he will, he has actually many times, but it's subtly. If he just walked through the door and said, "Behold my presence," well, that would be a blunt force trauma to the universe because it's gone on for eons without him being here, developing its own pathway, doing its own thing, providing its own evolution. So what do we do? Well, he sent Yeshua in. That was his incarnation into life. That was both human and divine, to be here and walk among us, to show us the dual range of our being, that we were created inside the quantifiable universe to manage it from the quantum universe, just as our Heavenly Father does. And this is what we're gradually learning by receiving the blessing, by giving the blessing, and by being participants in the growth of learning and the assimilation of grace. The Holy Spirit was sent to us to bring us healing and comfort and messages from the quantum universe that can easily function and coexist with a quantifiable universe. Now, why am I saying easily coexist? Well, I'll tell you why. We really had no management use of the quantum universe before the 1940s. Some people had speculated about it and thought, yes, there is more to this than what we see. But by the genius of Albert Einstein, which created something that is both could be heaven on earth, but up to this point has primarily been hell on earth, he created a way to convert quantifiable energy into quantum energy. And what did that create? The atomic bomb that destroyed Hiroshima. That's what would happen if you tried to create quantum space by converting quantifiable space into it. You would have an explosion. Now, the other way around, it can come in by grace. If you bring soft and gentle proportions of quantum space into the quantifiable universe, you can slowly, gracefully, and graciously infuse it into eventually the coming of heaven on earth. That's what Yeshua was trying to teach the apostles, without the full scope of language to convey the meaning. But he did convey it really pretty well when he talked about the where the heart is, and to find the heart as a child would find it, in innocence and laughter and joy and faith most of all. And this is why he also said, in every blessing, in every miracle he performed, it is your faith that made you whole. Now, why? Because your faith connects with the quantum universe. You see, The difference between belief and faith is that belief has to do with what I'm capable of doing inside this field of possibilities that I can know and observe. And yes, you can do just about anything if you plan it out well, you have courage and vision and teamwork and intelligence and genius of imagination. Yes, you can get up every mountain, but it also takes faith to get there. Now, what is faith? Faith is where you connect to the quantum universe. It's where you don't know how you'll do it, but you will. You can't measure your way there. You can't fight your way there. You can't compete your way there. You can't map your way there. You hold to it, seeing it as done. And in that vision, you are one with God. You have stepped into the quantum universe. And that's the power of faith. That's what we give you, is a little tiny, tiny taste of it. And if you know anyone or you've studied yourself anything about homeopathic medicine, you will know, you will have learned or at least been told that all it takes is the tiniest little infusion in order to magnify into the greatest and profoundest result. So that's the kind of principle we're working with here. And I wanted to share it with you while I was still fresh on my conversation with our blessing givers from yesterday, because they study this in depth. They understand his teachings on this in depth. And they're here to help you provide a stronger connection. And all you have to do is pray and hold firm in your faith. And it will come. Okay. Well, that's my message for today. And Nancy, I think we should probably open our board.
We sure can. That was wonderful. And I think it just really aligns with what's happening with the polls you're talking about and how people are orienting more to their inner knowing and, you know, their inner orientation to God. And I think that's part of what's happening. And it's all connected. It's just, thank you
it's
for that.
It's necessary. It really is. Because, you know, the fact is, we have studied what happens in the animal kingdom when animals become severely disoriented. They lose their way in flight. Often they just die. But in the meantime, they frequently will go semi-insane, like batting against tree limbs, batting against walls, pecking against each other, and fighting each other. They will go berserk and then just drop to the ground and often just die because they cannot regain their orientation to their migratory path. And all of these strange deaths that we have noticed in migratory animals, birds, fish, mostly in the last 12 years began to happen after we first noticed greater than usual shifts in the pole. Animals are keenly tied in with the geomagnetic field, and they travel by it. This is how they know to go to their feeding grounds, their breeding grounds, their hunting grounds, their wintering grounds. They go there by attunement to these radiating fields that guide them. This is how pets that get lost from their families 2,000 miles from home can actually go back home and surprise their families 2 months later without having a roadmap or a GPS or anything, because they've got that internal GPS system. So,
I was just going to say that, just to share briefly, just that I was reading that, you know, there have been shifts before, pole shifts, and that it was a shift from, you know, consciousness to subconsciousness, kind of the world we've created now, the world that God didn't create. So So maybe now we're shifting from that subconscious disconnected place to the conscious state so that, you know, there, and it won't have to be so cataclysmic, you know, because love displaces, you know, one person loving can displace 1,000 people in fear. And I think
absolutely,
you know, and that's why the blessing is so powerful, because it's sort of this huge ripple, powerful emanation of, you know, harmonic resonance, if you will, that is really assisting what's really, in fact, happening on our planet. So, anyway.
Well, that's exactly correct, Nancy, exactly correct. You know, whenever we lose our orientation due to just simple dizziness that we could get from an illness or, you know, just inner ear problems or something. There's so many. Or we get confused where we're driving, or confused at work, or disoriented with people. It's always 100% caused by the world, the material world, the quantifiable side of the universe, because the quantifiable side of the universe has to be in a very specific state of balance that we measure and align ourselves to. When that goes out of alignment, we feel disoriented or confused. The quantum space never becomes confused. It can never be misaligned. Never. And this is why so often we can just pray and that handles it. We can meditate and that's enough. And actually, in now there is a very, there's a therapy that's actually used in many rehabilitation centers for people who are disoriented for a number of reasons. Could be chemical, could be depression, or other types of traumatic challenges to their mind. And they're in a state of perpetual disorientation. And the therapist will just take them out to a lookout point or a porch that has clear vision from all directions and have them actually face the directions and think about something positive that happened in that direction. Turn to another direction. Think about something positive that happened in that direction. And to the another and to another and think about something positive until they are actually stable in the center of the little wheel of memories they created. And it has pulled drunks out of the stupor. It has pulled people who've overdosed out of unconsciousness. Well, virtual unconsciousness. Of course, if you're totally unconscious, you can do it. But low state of consciousness. It's actually awakened them and allowed them to walk back in to the therapy center and receive other forms of therapy. So this is not, we're not talking about something extremely esoteric here. We're talking about something that is actually happening to the degree that the navigation centers on all airline runways have adjusted to the change in our polar GPS alignment. It's the real deal, folks. This is not speculation. The only thing we don't know is what are all the effects that will come from it. It may be a sudden change that then becomes more aligned with the quantum universe, and all of a sudden we are in a state of bliss. You know, it could be that. We don't know. But in the meantime, what we're dealing with is a lot of confusion, a lot of chaos, and a lot of conflict. And we're giving you a little piece of understanding so that you can step back from it and know that you're not going to handle that in the material world. Have you noticed how many people are trying to bring peace to different parts of the world and wars break out somewhere else, or they come right back to where we worked on getting peace? We're not handling it in the quantifiable world. It's on edge. It's conflicting. The best we can do is bring little pieces of the quantum universe into your world. If nothing else, my friends, read a poem. read your favorite passage in the Bible. Listen to music. Whatever takes you into the quantum field will be a blessing you give to everyone around you, because it will radiate from your being, and it will make your being as a quantum person stronger. Okay, let's open the board, Nancy.
Absolutely. Stormy, I know you have something to share, because your line is open.
Yes, first, Glenda, I really want to thank you for an introduction to what I have to say today and what I've been working on all week long, exactly of the things that you're talking about. When I was in high school, I experienced first light, as I've said before, on my bedroom wall. And this week, I got a clear impression, because I'm remembering what you drew as an artist's interpretation of first light was what appeared on my bedroom wall, but it was a living light, Glenda. I
well,
got up.
It was living for me too, in the original.
and I walked through it and came back many times that year of my high school and got information about a lot of things. But I wanted to offer on this blessing call my personal experience with a living first light. And that's very much like what you're talking about here, that we are the light, we are the living light, and what experience that we've had with living light. When
absolutely.
I do my music, that brings, that people have said they experience the peace that passes all understanding. Or if I put my hand on someone's shoulder and they experience the peace that passes all understanding, that is what we're talking about, the little things we can do here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank you for quite an introduction to what I want to say about the blessing I wish to give, which is, how can you experience your version of the living first light? I say that you can hold Love Without End in your hands, and just by holding this book in your hand, you can experience first light. Whether you open the book or not, just by holding this book in your hand, it has the very living essence of first light within it. So thank you for the introduction, Glenda.
You're welcome, and God bless you, Stormy. I know you go back and forth through that doorway all the time, as do I. And, of course, when the light came the first time, it was the living presence of the Christ. It was. And it engulfed me. It engulfed the whole room. And I tried my best to recreate it on as a work of art. And, of course, it does come to life to anyone who looks through it and looks through the dimension of it. And it changes from every angle you go back and forth. And many, many people have said they just walk through it. But it honors the fact of what Yeshua said to all of us. You are the light. Go forth into the world and be a light into the world. That's what he said. Take the cover off of your light, that others may see it, and take your light onto a hill and shine it. So thank you, Stormy, for doing that all the years of your life, and for anyone else also shining their light through their life. And many have done it. Many are doing it today, and we applaud them because they make a difference in the world. So we come here today on a Sunday to share it with one another.
I say, and you make me smile, Glenda.
Oh, good. Good. Well,
next.
Okay, we love you, Stormy. And
thank you.
Always
want
to always hear you, Stormy.
All right.
Okay, thank you, Stormy. 858 is open.
Hi, Nancy.
Okay,
Hi,
Tina.
Hi, Yeah, hi, Glenda and everyone. Oh, I'm so glad I'm here. I'm always get so speechless. This message was so deep and so profound. And I wanted to express the gratitude. I'm very grateful for all the blessings I have received in my family, and especially Sarah. And yeah, there is more ease. It's just a blessing. There's just more love and ease, and just feel it, you know. There are those subtle changes that change everything, and I'm just really, really great and want to ask for continued blessings, because the situation is still there, but I think the relationship's better, and Sarah's not, I think she's not, she's off whatever drugs she was on, and she's very happy right now. And so
good.
Yeah, this is so good. So
Amen. I'm thrilled to hear that, Tina. And just keep your faith strong. Stay strong in your faith. And you know how to do that. You do that very well.
Thank you. And also, I wanted to ask for a blessing, for my other daughter, my goddaughter that used to live with us. It's I don't even know if it's 3 or 5 years. I think it's 5 years. I lost my sense of time completely. And she, I asked a blessing for her. Her name is Lillian. And so for the challenges she's facing, I think she's doing all right, but there's still a lot of wounds to heal, you know. And her mother, I ask blessings for her mother too. And yeah, that's important too. So.
Okay. Well, she's on my list. I've got her in
and
my
heart. I could, and thank you so much for the message. I just wanted to say I so agree with everything you said, and I feel the quantum, it's always happening in the heart, and sometimes it's just so hard to get there, especially when we just shaken out from something outside, and
Exactly.
Feeling I'm coming back into my heart, and I'm I'm always welcomed in my own heart if I find the way. And one more credit I say that I'm right now I'm at the ocean, and that is my greatest healer always. So
you found your stimulus. And you look out across the ocean, it's infinite, and that's a good way to step into quantum space a little better.
It really is. And I've been waiting to get out of Ashland. I couldn't, and it was so hard because I wanted to have Sarah finish high school, be able to, she's really, and so now I go like, oh my God, I just needed to be at the ocean. It's just, we're all, I belong to the water so much, and I just heal around water much easier than
that. That's right. Now you know that. That's important. That's a great gift to you, to find that and to know that about yourself. It really, really is.
Yeah, and now I have the pleasure of doing blessings in the water, and the dolphins love it, and all life, I wanted to say, and the whales and dolphins especially.
Oh, yeah. Just imagine you're riding on a dolphin going out into the depths of the ocean.
Right.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. And there's a rainbow on the horizon, and you're going to travel right under the rainbow.
Riding high on high frequencies. I can see it and feel it.
Yeah, so I get your vision. Yeah.
It's looking at the ocean, I saw them. And another thing that's brought a lot of joy. I bought a Vespa and like scooter, and just scooting down to the ocean, and I sometimes see the dolphins from the street already, and but just looking at the ocean, like you said, the infinity that it brings up, I feel it in my eyes. I mean, this is just looking at the ocean a lot, it's just so much healing to me. It's like you said, I think I'm stepping in this quantum space just by looking at the ocean in some ways.
Yeah, I think you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like watching the sunrise and the sunset. You just step into your heart better, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know,
I'm great.
You look directly in the sun when it's not filtered by the atmosphere. But when it gets down low enough to be filtered by the atmosphere and you look into it, you are really looking into infinity, because the sun is actually the source of every single chemical and element that makes up our planet.
Yes. And now I can see the sunset. Make a point.
It's all there.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't see them in Ashland. Otherwise, you know, that's just so great to see the sunset.
Where are you now, Nina?
I'm in Del Mar, and that's another miracle. I'm sharing a house with Rob. And I want to feel grateful about this too, that in my relationship with Rob, we have so much respect and acceptance, you know, that we can live, share the space now together in peace, you know, even we separated a long time. And I'm so grateful about that, you know, and his relationship to Sarah. And Sarah? So we all, yeah, it's just not talk about going to a duality and not talk about politics, but just really be in the love and the respect. And I always love him, you know, but it's just not talk about anything.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, you
don't have
a lot on the board. We need to move on. But we've
of
got
course.
You and your two daughters in our heart, on our list, and we'll be focusing on you in the blessing.
Thank you.
So you be there by the ocean, and that will just magnify it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you
so much. So good to hear your voice.
Oh.
And now we have, let's see. It looks like it's Elizabeth. Your line's open.
Hi, Nancy. Hi, Glenda. I don't even think I need to ask for the blessing. What you've just all been talking about, the quantum universe, I felt so out of sorts last week, and I felt like I got knocked out, and I got sick, and I get migraine headaches, and I had a lot during the week, and I just feel so off balance. And then if your whole conversation so far, I feel is really bringing me back into center. I think I got myself exhausted with my sister breaking her leg and having to work so hard and just coming back from northern India, and I just got so depleted that I sort of got myself out of balance. But just this conversation, I sort of feel my body coming back into center. So I was going to ask for a blessing to just help me get back into my point of balance and get rid of the headaches and be stronger, but I think that's already happening.
Mm-hmm. We'll just pull you back in and give you a big hug.
That's exactly what I need, pull back in and a big hug, because I think I just got to a point of exhaustion that knocked me out. But I'm coming back in through this conversation, so that's what the blessing I was going to ask for, but I think it's already happening.
Absolutely.
You.
And you know, that kind of thing can happen even if you're doing something really, really positive, like going to Disney World with your grandkids. You can come out worn out. You can come back worn. I mean, really, you need to go to bed. And it's not because of them. It's not because of the quality of experience. It's just because of the doggone material world. The quantifiable world only gives you so much energy to work with. And it makes you accountable. Well, how did you use that energy? Oh, okay, well, you used too much of that, so we got to take some energy from this. That's the way the quantifiable world works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you use too much energy coughing.
Yep.
So we're going to have to raise your blood pressure so we pump more oxygen to the cells. That's the way it works.
Yep.
Stepping outside of that takes care of it.
Love it.
Just like I have said so many times, the brain, not just, you know, there are parts of the mind that really belong to the soul, but the brain, it's a great servant. But we don't want to keep it that way. We want to keep it as a servant, and it's awfully hard to do because it likes to micromanage everything. That's its job, and that's how it does its work. Recently, I have caught myself, especially since I've been in a somewhat energy depleted mode for the last few weeks, where I will find my mind trying to micromanage everything. Even if I'm just making a peanut butter sandwich, it will micromanage. Well, you need to get this spoon. You need to get that knife. No, you need to use this bread and not that bread and only this much and put honey on it. And my mind is trying to micromanage everything I do. Well, okay, I'll tell you where that backfired. Is it all that bad? Aren't we supposed to be mindful? Yeah, but not like that. Not like that. You're supposed to be conscious, let's put it that way. And that's where the higher mind governs the practical mind. Okay. It has actually, this is a scientific fact, my friend. The biggest consumer of energy in your whole body by 90% is your brain. It uses most of the energy you have every day. So if you want to cut the drain on your energy, put that silly brain off that tries to work no matter whatever you do. And I caught myself in the middle of that action, and I just said to it, go to sleep. I'm making a peanut butter sandwich. And I went through all the motions doing it just the way I wanted to do it, put the bread on top, sat down, and enjoyed it. Didn't think about a single thing I was doing. And when I was done, I actually had some energy to use. If I had allowed my brain to micromanage, I had gotten really bad about my brain micromanaging things because in the duress of the last 3 years, I had felt I needed a live-in coach to get me through everything. And my brain kind of took over and said, okay, I'll coach you through everything. And it'll tell me things. Well, get a list now. Let's do the list. Well, I fired it yesterday.
That's awesome.
I remembered something my dear dad told me. Well, it was about 5 years before he passed. And the context of his statement is very important because he was not senile in any regard. When he left this planet at the age of 82, he was as bright and sharp as he would have been when he was 20. He did not go through a senility phase. Now, the reason that's important to know is I was commenting to him about some stress I was going through. And he said, you know, it's just driving me crazy. My mind is just conflicted on this. And he said to me, well, get rid of your mind. I laughed and I said, well, how can I do that? He said, oh, I got rid of my mind a few years ago, and I've never been happier. And I said, are you telling me, Daddy, that you're losing your mind? And he said, no, I'm smarter than I ever was. I just got rid of my mind.
You put it in the right priority, that's for sure.
Yeah. Now, I don't know how much actual wisdom was in what he said, but in an anecdotal sense, it was like a child saying something. You know, it was a conversation between a father and his daughter, you know, just telling me, well, stop thinking things. You're overthinking everything, Glenda. That's basically what he was saying. You're wearing yourself out, overthinking. And he was pointing out the fact that minds do enjoy conflicting possibilities, because they will pose one conflict against another and make their decision that way. Well, I think we'll go this way and not that way. Minds do that all the time. Mm-hmm. And they steal your energy. So I would I'm not going to say fire your mind, but I'm going to say send it on vacation for a few hours and just make your dinner without thinking through everything.
Nice.
Yes. Too true.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, we are building up people on our call. My gosh, we're gonna. I've got to put duct tape over my mouth.
Well, thank you, Elizabeth. We'll open up our
thank
next
you.
Line. It is Susan.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, everyone who spoke. Hi, Glenda. Hi, Nancy. And hi, everybody
hi.
Who spoke. Talk about, you know, that's one of the reasons I play Mahjong, you know, to let go of this overthinking. It's, you know, I'd hear God saying to me,
lighten up.
Those are the words, lighten up. And I know it's because I overthink things. And Mahjong, it starts out where you have to keep getting rid of tiles. And my mind just said, what? I'm not doing that. I've got to study. I don't know which tiles I should get rid of before we actually play the game and pick a hand. So I know. I said, you got to keep playing Mahjong, girl, because it's a constant, you know, it's going to constantly reinforce something that I have resistance about. And I wasn't even going to talk about it. But, of course, you all bring up so much that I can share about. But quickly, I want to go quickly. I know you don't have much time. 2 days ago, I went to sleep. And I got up at 4 a.m. with what felt like a urinary tract infection. And I haven't had that since I was a lot younger. And I'm thinking, what the hell? I was in, you know, real pain. And I'm by the beach where it's like a half an hour just to get groceries or find an urgent care or anything. And I'm no big doctor person to begin with. And I went, okay. Thank God I had my pendulum. Because I needed to connect, and I knew some fear would be blocking me, and I was praying that when I was using it, that I was getting, you know, some good connection to my soul. And I started out by going to ShopRite, which is a half an hour, and going to the pharmacy there and asking this. And from there, I went to CVS, and I got some good things to deal with it. And I came back here, which is like a half an hour, which is home, and you know, I didn't take my pendulum with me, but I used it when I got home. I said, go back and find an urgent care and get a urine test. You need to do that. And, you know, what? I said, okay, I'm going to do the right thing. And I did. I went and I got a urine test. In the meantime, I had taken something that makes your urine orange, and it's supposed to help. It won't help with an infection, but it'll help minimize the pain. So I said, you know, I don't know what they could see in me because I had taken that and I didn't realize maybe I shouldn't have, whatever. So they took another test that they said would take a few days and, you know, to culture it, whatever. But here we'll prescribe an antibiotic. And I went, oh, yeah, I take so much medication. I really wish if I didn't have to take an antibiotic that I, you know, I really wish, you know, and because it's good for some things and not so good. That's just life, you know, and I wound up just praying and thinking of you, Glenda, and the community, and praying. I said, you know, if you can help me with this, boy, I really would appreciate that. And when I was ready to go to bed, I had to go to the bathroom. I was kind of constipated, and I kind of released a lot, whatever. And I got out, and I said, I don't know why, but I feel better. And I went to sleep, and it was like it was gone. I had a beautiful, I was concerned about peeing in the bed. That's how much I was peeing. I said, I'm not going to ruin my bed if I have to stay up all night. I was so concerned about this whole thing. And I'd only taken one pill. The pharmacist said, take only one pill. This was yesterday. And then start with the two the next day, which is today. And I went to sleep. I said, I think this is gone. I don't know how. And I slept like a baby, got up. You know, said, so what do I do? Do I take the antibiotic? Don't I? I used my pendulum, and it said, you don't need it. And so I chose not to. I said, look, I've got them. And if I start to feel uncomfortable, I've got them. I've got it. I'd rather not start taking it, feeling okay, and then I've got to complete it because you can't stop that in the middle. So you can't do that. So So meantime, my body's doing this work because it was only one pill. So my daughter-in-law happened to mention something, and you know, she's very medically oriented. So I get a text from my son, well, you really should take it because it could lead to a urinary, it lead to kidney problems, kidney disease or whatever. And I said, oh, here we go, fear. Here we go. Do I want to absorb that fear? And I used my pendulum. I said, no. No, it isn't necessary. And fear is contagious, and I don't need to buy into it. And so I didn't do it. But talk about quantum, you know. I mean, how the hell? I mean, I was so sick, Glenda. I'm telling you. It was.
I know.
Unbearable. And yet, like that, I went, oh, Glenda, I wonder if, you know, whatever. You think that, you know, anyway, I don't know. But it was completely lifted. I don't know how.
You went there. And you know, there's no specific pathway because you are the quantum presence in the earth. And you went into yourself. You were asking yourself. That was probably the biggest key, is you were asking yourself and you were trusting yourself. And you had faith in yourself. And you were proceeding on faith and not buying into fear.
I asked for help. I know. It was unbelievable. I just connected out and then no, and not that I was expecting, I just asked. And I figured, well, whatever. I've got everything at my fingertips if I need to do this. I was willing to do it if I needed to. I kept saying, you did the right thing. You did everything right. Now let's see how it plays out. And it was it was like, what? To me, that was an unbelievable miracle.
That's a great example. It really is. And I have to confess, I had not identically because I didn't go to urgent care. I came home so exhausted after the seminar. I woke up in the middle of the night with a severe pain. I said, oh my Lord, I kept coming down with a urinary tract infection.
Oh, that's so funny.
And I said, well, there's nothing I can do in the middle of the night, so I'm just going back to sleep. I went back to sleep, and I woke up without it.
Wow. Wow. So funny I should tell you that, huh? I'm asking, when the hell was the last time I had this? It's weird that I should tell you this. Mm.
That's really funny. Okay.
Yeah.
Two sisters
Thanks.
Talking to each other.
Yes.
And I'm so
I think
glad
we
to
do
have
that
experience.
A lot. Yeah, thank you, sweetie. I love you. I love all of you.
Love you, too.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Okay, thanks so much, Susan. It is Francesca, your line is open.
Thank you so much, Wendy. Hi, everyone. I'm so happy to be here. And, Glenda, I was so inspired by your talk just now. Thank you so much. I mean, I feel like some of the other folks said that I moved into the quantum during it. And you know what's funny, but I realized today during your talking that when I can no longer follow what the person is, like when I can no longer follow what you're saying with my mind, but it makes all perfect sense, that I've hit the quantum because it's no longer going in from my mind. It's like resonating with my heart, you know?
Uh-huh.
And like my mind has taken the back seat. You know, and something else that I remember that I learned a while back that, you know, seems to really resonate with this. In Chinese medicine, the heart is considered the emperor. And, you know, mm-hmm. the mind is supposed to be the servant to the heart. And
that's correct.
So they don't consider like the mind or the brain the emperor. It's the heart. It's the heart that controls everything.
And it does. It does.
Yeah. So it's
That's
also
great.
Good to get
back That's great.
Because, you know, we live in a culture where that, you know, that way of being in the world is not exactly valued. You know, like sometimes in the regular world, what's valued more is, you know, being able to, like, make arguments with your mind, and I think it can mm-hmm. somehow be very unsettling, you know, to like one's equilibrium if one wants to live from a higher place.
Mhm.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I think that's what happens to me when I go to work, you know, is that, you know, everybody is there in their head. I feel like I need to go there too.
Well, and their job.
And that's what gets me jealous.
Exactly. Their job is to deal with the quantifiable side of the universe. That's their job.
Right.
So naturally, they're going to be there and be focused. But you actually can be in both places. And that's what we have to start learning.
That is actually true.
Yeah, when Yeshua said, I am in the world, but not of the world, he was saying, I am of the quantum working on behalf of you and everything else in the quantifiable.
That makes perfect
sense. The world is the quantifiable. And that's why money is king, because that gets down to the bare roots of numbers. Numbers. And math is king. The computer and the whole digital empire is emperor. and so it goes and it's developing a really, really strong base of power as the world right now. And so what is fascinating, though, is that we will not handle this with fear. Don't put fear on it, because there's a natural balance to all things. The larger the world begins to present itself as being in charge, the more the quantum will actually move in to supersede it. And this time, when the quantum moves in to supersede, we should have a little stronger taste of heaven on earth. And I really believe we will. I do. So I am, when I give you this knowledge and these insights, it is not to generate fear or to say bad things are coming. We probably will have some more challenges. I don't think we have completely sailed out of rocky waters. But on the other side is a rainbow. And I don't want you to deal with anything going on with fear, because fear is not the answer. It will just tie you more deeply into the quantifiable side of the equation. So,
for sure.
Be in your faith. Hold to your faith. Be the love that you are. And one of the great things about love as you are is love is sufficient to simply be present and observe. It is not forced or compelled to do anything. And sometimes the greater love is to do nothing, just to be a neutral presence, a loving presence, observing and seeing and stabilizing whatever may be going on around you. And I have known people that really specialize in that ability, and they are a great asset to every venture they're part of.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I feel like in certain aspects of my job, I've been able to really hold that space. You know, like I hired 3 people, which is like a lot in a very short period of time. And like for some reason, the act of going through that whole process really kicks in my whole intuitive side and everything. And I've been very successful with hires. And it's just because I get to go into that space, you know, where, and I just have to learn how to, I just have to try and let go of the fear and try and remember to be the love that I am. Because that's really what's going to make it all better, as you've been saying for me week after week after week. But I hope I'm getting closer to being able to hold it versus, like, losing it, you know. So
yeah,
that is my request for
that's
the blessing.
Cool.
That,
the big goal.
So I feel like it's changed that now I'm not asking for, you know, stuff in my workplace to change, that if I can just be the love that I am, I know that everything will change.
Absolutely.
That's true. Well, it's been great talking to you, Francesca, And I'm so glad we're making a difference. And
thank
everybody
you.
In this community surrounds you and lifts you up.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So good to hear you. Let's see. We have Iman. Your line is open. Iman, are you there?
Wait, I'm here. I had my phone on mute. I would like to say thank you, everyone. I love you, Glenda. I love you, the Holy Blessed Givers community. Because I was mentioning the event that I have with my neighbor upstairs. She's walking and pounding the floors. Well, immediately the night after Monday night, we were on Sunday night, I was able to sleep. Basically, I was just able to sleep, and I woke up refreshed and able to breathe and able to do my morning meditation, which I haven't done because I was so distracted. I just would like to say thanks. Through some miracle, I'm not sure the medium of the Holy Spirit or through word of mouth by someone. I have no idea, but how it worked, it worked. And I do pray for continued support and continued prayers on this matter, because I wish my faith was stronger. I pray for that. But I do have how long is this going to last, that kind of question. So I do pray for continued support, continued prayer by the blessing givers, by the community. And I believe that having a community such as this community, which I trust with all my heart, is very vital in this change of, I think, society as we move into a more accountability of, ourselves and each other, with the love that comes with it, with the responsibility that comes with it. I think this kind of society would make a great model for different communities. So I just want to say thank you with all my heart.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome, and we thank you for being part of us. You're a link in the chain that makes us what we are. So, we all have our challenges, and we provide for each other a place to go and someone who understands what we're going through so we can get there more easily and hold it longer and stronger. And we will, it's like starting out with any kind of muscle. You build it over time. You build it, and it stays. And it stays in place, and it's strong forever. You know, the quantum is the forever place. In the quantum.
Yes, it is. I live there, Glenda. Yeah.
Everything changes in quantum.
Yes. You know, your painting of First Light, when I look into the center of it, I keep that vision in my heart, always, in my mind, always. So everywhere I go, I focus on that center, that light that comes out of the First Light that you painted, because that is the great central sun. I believe in God, energy, life force from there. So I do my best to try to live in that space and bring that space wherever I go, whether it's in yoga class, whether it's highway, whatever, just so that I can be kind of like initiator of that zero point. I'm not sure exactly how to say it, but I love that. I love that space.
It's the best.
Beautiful.
Can I say one more thing?
It's so good.
While I'm on it.
Sure.
I just want to say, I think the problem with our world is love, not knowing what love really is. I think a lot of us do not know, and I'm still learning, but a lot of us who hasn't read Love Without End, I don't think we'll really find the totality of seeking love the way Master Yeshua has taught it. And I think that Love Without End is a great, of course, gift to the world, but at the same time, love, I think that people have a heart, don't know what love is. Love cannot be forced. And love cannot be manipulated. Love is free, right? So, and I think a lot of my problem, even the problem that I have with my neighbors, is that they're trying to force my love and attention, and it cannot. And once we start forcing love, it resists. It just does the opposite. It's just natural. It's just the way God made that. Yeah. Yeah, so I think love is the bottom line of every problem we have in the world, and I pray to God with all my heart that Yeah, but we come to a better understanding of what love is. Amen.
Well, amen. We need to work on that. All of us, and we'll have a renewed seminar on that subject coming up this spring. I think that might be great. Might be really great. You know, one of the things that we think love is attachment. We confuse attachment for love all the time. And the other thing is approval. And another thing is conformity. If you're like me, I love you. You know, so we confuse it for conformity, agreement, approval, and attachment. None of those things are love. They may be necessary to have harmonious reality, yes, but it's not love. It's not love. And we need to take some closer looks at what love really is. And it would make a big difference. Hey, well, Iman, you keep working on it and let us know.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Love you.
Thank you, Iman. Let's see, Glenda, we have Tara Kim. Hi there.
Hi. Hello, Nancy. Hi, Glenda. Hello, everyone. Just a blessing request for some family members. My mom, continued blessings for my mom, Barbara. She ended up with COVID. Held out all these 2 years, but finally did get it after going to church last week, it sounded like. So, but and a thank you so much to some of the blessing givers who've already helped out in some ways. Just so, so grateful for some of the incredible, incredible support from some of those folks. So just a blessing for her and for my husband and our dog as well.
Oh, of course. We can't leave out your dog. That's Dakota, right?
That is Dakota. You got it.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. And Glenda, I had a question too. Do we have access to the call that you did yesterday for a replay?
You will have. It's posted. Oh, and after we finish with this call, going to send an email out to all of our blessing givers so you can access it.
Oh, perfect. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you,
great.
Tara.
Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Our last caller, Caroline, you're on.
Hi. My blessing is for you, Glenda, for you to be able to get to the bottom of that cough and get rid of it and feel back to normal. But I was in two minds whether I was going to go on today because what I'm going to say may seem controversial to some people. When I had a cough that didn't quit, I took ivermectin and it went away. It didn't quit. I got ivermectin from a naturopath, 24 mg a day for a week, and it went away. It was like a miracle. It also worked well when I had COVID. And I know we're not supposed to say these things these days, but I wanted to put it out there just in case to give you the possibility of options. I'm not a doctor. I don't want to recommend anything. But for me, ivermectin was a game changer. So there you go. That's it.
Well,
that's
actually,
what I want to say today.
Okay, that's good. Actually, Caroline, ivermectin is being sanctioned by many medical doctors right now. We have most definitely turned a corner where most people want to do whatever works, and it's not about politics. It's not about the government. It's not about the CDC. It's about what gets you well. And I have been reading a number of books, and serious medical doctors are recommending it and prescribing it. So it's not that I don't think it's that controversial anymore. And I can't personally recommend it because I'm not a doctor, but I can just tell you, don't be scared of it, okay?
Right. And in my own experience, it worked for something that I tested negative for COVID. It wasn't COVID, but it was a pretty bad respiratory cough that just wouldn't go away. And after I talked for a while, I just couldn't talk anymore. I felt like I was choking. And I didn't know what to do, but ivermectin cleared it. And then when I did have COVID, it was very, very effective, very helpful for that too. Doesn't mean it's going to work for everybody, but I just wanted to put it out there for you, Glenda, and have all us blessing givers, novices like me and everybody else, do the mega blessing to get your throat and your body back to normal again.
Amen.
Okay, and you know, another thing is really good, and this is not controversy, and that is the inhaler, the nebulizer.
Nebulizer. Right, yes, that's right. A nebulizer.
Go online and read various recommendations for a nebulizer, and that is not a subject of controversy because people with allergies, asthma, all kinds of respiratory challenges have been using that for years, and it is, that's what I am using that, and it's making a difference. I used it just before I got on this call.
You sound great, actually, today. Much better today than you did yesterday, actually, to be
honest.
That's
the nebulizer at work. So it's working.
Yay.
And so you can get, you can buy a nebulizer on Amazon and go online to a number of wellness sites and get a good recipe for what to put in it. So I can't really, I'm not qualified to tell you that part of it, but you can find the information very easily. And it works. It works. All right.
Great.
My darling.
Well, that's
friends,
it.
My beautiful blessing givers and our loving community. We need to give everybody a blessing. We need to do our work now. Okay. It's great that we talk because we share our understanding. We share our epiphanies. We share our knowledge and our troubles so that we can actually, you know, it's so important to be able to receive. This is one of the biggest things I've been reading in my research about respiratory issues is so many of the cells are blocked that they can't receive anything as simple as zinc. And so you have to take something else to open the cells so the cells can receive zinc. It's like a fascinating puzzle. And I've been immersed in reading for the last week because I want to get rid of this. I mean, I got to get back to work. I got to get back to enjoying life and being out there, making things happen. So, I really recommend that you study and read about the thing. But one of the things that, is key for the body to receive is a willingness to be vulnerable. A willingness to be vulnerable. So it's important that we express our vulnerability, our hurts, our wounds, and what we're having an issue with, because that allows us to call in the help that will be provided and to inhale it. Okay? Let's get started. Everybody, find your sweet spot in your chair, on your bed, and just relax. I want you to literally hang out. By shaking out your arms, shaking out your legs, moving your neck and your head around until it's totally limber, and take a big cleansing breath and just release it completely. Just let go. All right? Now, we want to work on our four square breath. It's not really work. I shouldn't have used that word, but it's a little ritual that has a wonderful result. You will do your own counting. I won't tell you what represents a count of four. You do that yourself. But we're going to slowly exhale to the count of four, giving our breath into life. We're going to let it sit there for another count of four so that it can be received by something or somebody. And then we're going to receive back a breath of life into our own body to the count of four. And we're going to hold it or pause so that our body can receive and utilize that breath we brought in. Now we're going to go back again to give breath to the world. To life. To the count of four. Your four. And then we're going to just pause while the gift is being received. To the count of four. Then we're going to take in a breath. To the count of four.
And we're going to hold it to the count of four. Now, you continue to do this while I offer my prayer to Yeshua. And then you will offer your prayer, focusing on all of the things that you want to create or fix or make better or accept. Dear Yeshua, I stand here in my own vulnerability as a human child of God in the midst of a world that can be very challenging. And I surrender my power to you, to the Holy Spirit, and to my Father Creator, that I may be a more complete person who lives not just in the world, but in the beautiful quantum space of union with my Father, with the angels, with you, and the Holy Spirit, and all of my friends and my brothers and sisters, my family, and all the ones I adore. Thank you for including us. Thank you for reaching for us. Thank you for putting your arms around us that we can feel your love, that we can inhale your love and give it back to a world that needs so much more love. We ask that we can be a light in the world and that you will show us how to take the various coverings we have put over our light so that we can shine brighter and that we can be a more positive force in our own presence and in the presence of others. We ask that we may be an instrument of goodness in the world, an instrument to give nourishment and help, solutions, and blessings to anyone and everyone who will receive. We ask these things in your name, that you gave us the lessons we are now using, that we may become more like you and more truly a child of God. Amen. Blessing givers, will you stand and join me as we offer the blessing? Everyone else, begin your prayer.
Your blessing has been given. Now go and rest for at least 7 minutes. Don't think. Don't engage your mind in this one, because it can't think through blessings. Just be a blank slate that the Holy Spirit can write upon and infuse you with greater potential for your life. Bye-bye for now. And I look forward to being with you again next week. And blessing givers, look forward to the message I will be sending. Okay, bye-bye for now.